I tend to find that the less that we think about these things, the quicker they'll go away. A doctor told me this in 2017, and it pissed me off to no end. Welcome back to the show. It is Thursday, October the 23rd. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein. Thank you so much for being here. As always, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the podcast. I haven't done a name read in a few weeks, so let me give a shout out to Carolyn, RedFirePhoenix25. email me, please, what your name is if you would like me to know who you are. But RedFirePhoenix25 is all that it tells me. Leslie, Justin, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Tony, Michael, Christina, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. It is patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Now, today's episode, not really even sure how long it's going to go, but it's something that has come up a couple of, you know, in life, a lot of times it's sort of like there are themes that happen, and it could be because you're looking for it, or it could be just because it's happening a lot. But there's this concept of this thing that keeps coming up with people that I know or people that I talk to, where they're giving a lot of attention to something and it's causing them a lot of pain and issues. And so what kicked this off was, and I'm not going to say this person's name because I did not get their clearance, but I got a DM on Instagram. Hold on, let me find it. Hey, Eddie, it's been several years. I hope you're good. Wondering if I could quickly run something by you. Had a dip out of my TMS belief yesterday and tried to sort of obsessively correct my posture. I got a lot of pain as a result. Can I write this pain off as TMS? It seems highly unlikely to be an actual injury oneself sitting or standing up very straight. The best. Yes. So if you think about posture, and we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but I feel like it's not as much of a social contagion as maybe it was like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, where posture is sort of the obsession that a lot of people are talking about and it's like the root of pain. YouTube algorithms work in this way though. So back in 2016, 2017, I'd be searching a lot for ways to fix all the pain that my body was in a variety of places, but mainly my neck and my upper back. But occasionally my knees would be killing me, and my elbows and my shoulders and my biceps. And so, you know, one after the other. And inevitably, I would find these videos around posture and improving your posture, and that was the root of all of your problems, especially people that work at a desk. Well, not all people, but a lot of people work at a desk, right? And not all of us are in pain. So what is the big difference between people that work at a desk all the time and are in pain and people that work at a desk all the time and have no pain or little to no pain? And so the posture argument to me is kind of a lot of BS. So what I said to this person, whatever you focus on is going to bring you fits. So if you're spending all this time correcting something, think about what message this is telling your nervous system. Zoe in a soccer game last Sunday, was defending a girl. They were 10 feet apart, 6 to 10 feet apart. Girl took a really, really hard ball, shot it right at Zoe. Thankfully, Zoe got her hand up. Otherwise, it would have hit her in the face, and then maybe it would have been a whole other slew of things that she would be fearful of. But said she got her arm up, bent her wrist back. She was far side of me from the field, but it was a loud thud even from where I was. She came out of the game 12 minutes in, and that was it. She didn't go back in. So she was complaining that night and the next day and all this stuff about going to the doctor, or I have an injury, or it's broken, or anything like that. I could see it was definitely swollen, so advising her to ice it. And I just told her, like, hey, this is a sports injury. It's going to take a few days. Even if it's a grade one sprain, you might be sore for a week or a couple of weeks. And occasionally she'll complain about the pain, but I keep telling her, and it's tough trying to teach an 11-year-old because maybe there is a real injury, but I keep telling her this concept of, you know, the more that you focus on it, the more the pain will be. And I opened this episode by giving that quote. There was a doctor, and I actually emailed this guy a year or two ago about doing an interview for the podcast, and he seemed into it, and then I didn't reply, and I really need to, and I'm just, I'm terrible at that in some facets. In some sense, you can text me and I'll respond in a second. And then other times you may email me and it might be months and months before I reply. And I feel bad about that. Is what it is, whatever. So I had gone to him several times about a variety of different problems that I was having. And he said that phrase to me, you know, the more that we think about things, ultimately, the more pain that it will give us. And the inverse of that being, hey, if we stop thinking about it or not giving it as much attention, then the less pain that we will feel. I was so at a point in my life at that period where there was just, I was just not hearing that. There's no way. So I felt very insulted. And I remember I would retell this story to people that I knew that I was really upset at this doctor for saying this thing. And in retrospect, I look back at it now and, you know, granted that was 8 years ago. So I was 31, a lot of maturing to do still in a way, a lot of maturing still to do. But ultimately, that's just something. It's a thing, and it's a continuous thing that I think about a lot with people that tend to talk a lot about physical ailments. There's probably a lot of other things going on. There's a lot of, I call it swirling, but a lot of rumination on different areas or components of their body that are in pain, and a lot of pain in some cases, but this pain is really a emotional issue. So instead of sitting in your room and crying 24 hours a day, much more society-wise, an acceptable way to handle this is for your back to hurt or your arm to hurt or your elbow to hurt. I give this example a lot, but go to any family function. You know, we get around to like Memorial Day-ish in the United States, all the way up, you know, clear past Labor Day, and there's barbecues happening, right? You could inevitably go to any family function or barbecue, and there is always going to be a circle of people where if you walk up and you just wait 2 or 3 minutes, you don't even have to say anything, wait 2 or 3 minutes, somebody is going to start talking about various aches and pains that they have. Doesn't matter the age. These people could be teenagers. These people could be in their 20s. But where it really starts to manifest is in that age period of responsibility that Dr. John Sarno would talk about in his books, which is like 30 to 60. You've got the mortgage. You've got the kid or kids. You've got all the activities. You've got school. You're midway in your career. You're trying to ascend. You want to make more money. There's just a lot of internal pressures that you put on yourself and that society puts on you and that your responsibilities put on you. And the best outlet to be able to continue to try and achieve and keep up with the Joneses is to unleash this pain and discomfort on yourself. So I was doing a little bit of research. I wanted to answer the question, why does the pain from injuries tend to linger more the more that we think about it? Here's a couple of things that I found. So the amplification effect of attention. Dr. Alan Gordon talks about this a lot in his book, but this has been continued to be a discussion, particularly since the Boulder Back Pain Study was released, and I think it was 2019 was the actual publishing of it. But pain is really a warning signal. The primary job is to grab your attention to protect you from danger. When you shift your focus to the injury, your brain registers, this is a warning signal. It needs to be heard. It needs to be validated. So going back to this example of the soccer game on Sunday, this ball comes at a high rate of speed, high exit velo, hits Zoe on the arm, right on the wrist. Okay, now it's got the warning signal, right? If that wrist keeps bending back and eventually breaks, the bone breaks, this is the warning signal that the ball hit it. The tensile strength to break a bone and tear a muscle is so incredibly high, there's no way that a ball coming off of an 11-year-old's foot could have done that. So this is giving her the warning sign. Then we've got this concept of the volume knob, which is turning this pain up to 10. Or I mean, remember, Dr. Sarno said that in all the years of him doing medicine, 50 years of doing medicine, the one constant is that there is no other pain issue or injury that he could ever find or discover that was more painful consistently than pain coming from TMS. Because I was explaining to Zoe last night in the car, all pain is originated in the brain. It all comes from the brain. Doesn't matter where the pain is, it's all being manufactured in the brain. She said, no, it's being it's being manufactured in the bones. No, it's being manufactured in the brain. And I just, you know, I tried to puff out my chest a little bit and say, this podcast that I've been doing for 8 years is entirely on this topic. It is this thing. So the areas of your brain that are responsible for processing pain, the pain matrix, are directly connected to the areas responsible for attention and emotion. When you deliberately focus on the pain, it's like turning up the volume knob on that specific signal. Studies using fMRI scans, this is the Boulder back pain study, have shown that focusing attention away from a painful stimulus reduces activity in the pain matrix, while focusing on it increases activity. So, going back to the wrist injury, the more that you focus on it, that area of your brain, per fMRI, shows that the pain stimulus increases in activity, versus if you give it less attention, it reduces the painful stimulus that's associated with that, meaning the activity of the painful part of your brain is getting turned down, the volume knob concept. Hypervigilance is another piece of this. This has a lot to do, this, the guy that messaged me about posture, that's what this is, hypervigilance. Constant thinking creates hypervigilance. Whether you are overly tuned to a sensation from that part of the body or normal non-painful signals are then misinterpreted as danger or damage, thus triggering the full pain response. So also, pain catastrophizing and rumination. This is a psychological factor that has the strongest link to the chronic pain persistence. For instance, catastrophizing is a negative mental state that involves magnification, so exaggerating the importance of severity of the pain, rumination, which is continuously dwelling on the pain and associated negative thoughts. Why won't it go away? I can't do anything because of this. And then helplessness. So feeling unable to cope with or influence the pain. There's nothing I can do to make this better. Helplessness. I used this term very, very recently, actually about our kids, this term called learned helplessness. And this has come up in child psychology, some reading that I was doing a few months ago, around this feeling of learned helplessness, and that kids and adults do this a lot too, but they just ultimately, they can't cope with something that poor that is happening to them. There's nothing I can do to make this better. This is where something like, what is the term? Outcome independence is big. Meaning, if this pain continues, so what? I'm going to keep living my life and do the things that I want to do. That is the exact opposite of helplessness, learned helplessness. The neurochemical link. So catastrophizing and high anxiety are linked to the release of stress hormones like cortisol and the activation of the sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight. This state can actually lower your pain threshold and interfere with your body's natural pain blocking mechanism, making you more sensitive to the existing discomfort. So people that are in this fight or flight or really highly activated sympathetic nervous system, and for some people they're in this all the time, what can we do to get out of that? What can we do to increase our safety? For some people, it's the validation and constant reassurance of you're safe and safety and all of the words around that. For some people, it's meditation makes them feel safe. For some people, it's breathing exercises, deep breathing, diaphragmatic breathing makes them feel safe. So what can you do to get into a more parasympathetic nervous system state, because that inherently will increase your pain threshold. So basically, the higher that your sympathetic nervous system is amped up, the higher that your anxiety is, the higher those cortisol levels are, your pain threshold has tanked. So everything hurts a little more. You hurt yourself a little bit easier, all things like that. Zoe had said last week, something hurt a 9 out of 10. It's not that I don't believe her. It's that amped up, catastrophizing, all of that kind of stuff. So the more that you can have this great indifference that I'm chasing, anybody that understands this podcast or any of this kind of work, we are chasing indifference. Indifference is really the ability for you to up your pain threshold. And I talked for a long time about me being in so much pain for so many of a variety of things for lots of 2015, virtually all of 2016, and the first half of 2017. Now, who knows? If those same issues or whatever happen to me now, what happens? Well, I've told stories on this podcast in the past. I've had I'm putting quotation marks on this, my back go out, meaning I've been doing a lift and I feel like someone stuck a hot knife into the bottom of my back and I've collapsed on all fours, unable to walk, unable to stand up, and it's been an army crawl. However, I did not catastrophize. I did do whatever I could to increase my parasympathetic response, and my pain threshold dramatically went up, and it went away in record amazing time. Because the less attention that I paid to it, the less response that my system was giving me. So in cases where pain lasts longer than the expected healing time, 3 to 6 months in some case, but in oftentimes, and I've had Howard Schubiner on this podcast talking about this before, typically this is going to be a days to weeks kind of thing. The nervous system itself can become sensitized and learn the pain. Schubiner, his book called Unlearn Your Pain, is all about this. The alarm system is on high alert. So over time, with repeated focus and high levels of stress and anxiety, the nerve pathways in the spinal cord and the brain become extremely efficient at transmitting pain signals. They start firing strongly in response to minor or even no stimulus. There's stories in some of these books about TMS where you have a construction worker, as an example, takes a nail through his shoe, completely freaks out about this injury, and then when they remove the boot, the nail never grazed his skin. So there's lots of stories just like this. Maladaptive wiring. The brain areas that process pain literally change in structure and function, acting like a highly reactive, constantly firing alarm system. The original injury has healed, but the pain pathway has become the problem. When you think about the injury, you're engaging and reinforcing that hypersensitive, maladaptive neural circuitry. Meaning, neuroplasticity and neuroplastic pain, all of this is originating in the brain. So if I went and tweaked my knee going on a long run tomorrow, might actually happen. You know, we'll see. You tweak your knee, and then 2 weeks have gone by, 6 weeks have gone by, or whatever. It's been healed, but that pain is still there. Why? And it's because you have sat with that pain for so. This is the ultimate conundrum, and why the medical system, it's been so difficult to try and solve the problem of chronic pain, because it's so. This is going to sound odd. It's complex, yet it's simple. So, like, the information highway and the number of pain pathways we have in our body compared to our capacity to understand it are completely different. So you could have an injury that is completely healed and yet you still have an issue. My shoulder surgery that I had in April of 2016, if I would have ruminated on that injury and let it roll and go on, forever my left shoulder might be known as the hurt one, or my bad shoulder, or whatever that term that people use is. I have not had that problem. In fact, I had the surgery. It was a successful surgery. I've had no residual issues at all. And in fact, in all the movements that I've been weightlifting and strength training and all that stuff since mid-2017, coming back from that, I've had no issues. And in fact, the only reason that I even remember what shoulder it is that I drove a stick shift car at the time. And I remember that I could still change gears in my car when I was wearing my sling. Now, not the safest thing to do, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I did buy an automatic after that, which I loved the car I replaced with it, but I really miss driving a stick sometimes. But I have an EV now, and I've had it for a couple of years. And honestly, I can't go back to gas. I'm sorry. It sounds ridiculous, but I just can't. So anyway, that's what this episode was about, because this is something that keeps coming up with people that I'm talking to and in my circle. You know, I'm 39 now. I'm going to be 40 in 5 months and 4 days. At 39, I feel as healthy as I did in my early 20s, mid-20s, probably even better in a lot of cases. More endurance-wise, ability to do more things, much more energy, more strength, all that kind of stuff. At some point, probably that's going to peter out, whatever. But at this point in time, I think that it is the love that I have for fitness. It's called the Mind and Fitness Podcast. But also the understanding of this stuff around central sensitization, fight or flight, pain catastrophizing and rumination, and the amplification effect of attention when it comes to pain is legit the greatest toolkit that I could have in my life as an athlete, as a friend, as a coach. And sometimes that's tough, because athletic injuries, it's believable that you could twist your ankle or hurt your wrist or whatever playing a sport like soccer, like the one that I coach. However, I think that being able to arm athletes and young athletes with the knowledge that, hey, the more that we think about this, the more it's going to hurt, can be a really big resource and toolkit for athletes and young athletes and really anybody. Thank you for being here. Have a great week.